Join me in prayer, please. Father, as we approach your word this morning, as we continue our study of Romans, I just pray, Lord, that you would open our hearts and minds to your wonderful truth, that you'd speak to us, that through the indwelling of your Spirit, that you'd continue to shape us and mold us and conform us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Romans chapter 3 as we continue our study of verse 21 through 26. And in fact, this will be our last sermon of this particular group of verses in the book of Romans. And I, throughout this, have quoted Leon Morris, the theologian, who said that perhaps this was the greatest paragraph ever written. Because what you see in these particular group of verses is that you see the gospel of Jesus Christ in the wonderful work that Jesus does on our behalf. So I'd like to read that group of verses again in total as we will summarize these verses this morning. It reads, "But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith, to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." As we look at the work of Christ in these verses, we see that Christ justifies, that Christ redeems, that Christ is our propitiation. This work of Christ enables us to have, as Paul wrote at the beginning of these verses, a righteousness that is apart from the law. It's not righteousness through the law. We've already determined that that's not possible. This is a righteousness apart from the law through the work of Jesus Christ. So how does one receive and accept the work of Christ? What must one do? Well, our verses tell us. In 22 it says that the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. Verse 26 says that God is the just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So to receive the work and the accomplishment of Christ, one has to believe. One has to have faith. Some people have described this as, well, God did His part, now it's up to you to do your part. And that's not the gospel. The gospel isn't God doing His part and you doing your part. That is the belief of merit. That's saying that you have the ability to understand and recognize God in His righteousness as an unbeliever. That you go from unbelief to belief on your own. And that's not the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13 through 15 says this, "These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The natural man does not understand God. He can't. They're foolishness. So if the natural man cannot discern or recognize God, how does one then believe? How do we go from unbelief to belief? From the lost to the saved? How does one make that transition? Ephesians 2:8 gives us the answer. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." So it's not God doing His part, us doing our part. We are incapable of doing our part. Faith is an absolute gift. It's an absolute gift. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9 says this, "God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began." See, my friends, we do not acknowledge God in our own power and strength. It is an absolute gift. Our faith, our belief is a gift. It's not us figuring something out. It's not us drawing any conclusions. It is God moving in our hearts and moving us from unbelief to belief. And unfortunately, so many times, people forget that in their Christian walk. They believe that it was them. It was them who did it. Look at me. I'm so righteous. I picked Jesus Christ, and these other people haven't picked Jesus Christ. That's not the gospel. After all, we already saw in Romans 3 where Paul outlined in verse 10, he said, "There is none righteous." No, not one. "There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have all together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one." We're incapable. We're incapable of choosing a holy and righteous God. It is absolutely a gift. And as we worship Jesus Christ this Christmas season, we worship Him because He truly is the gift. He's the gift of life. He's the gift of belief. He has provided something to us that we were incapable of doing on our own. He is to be worshiped and praised. And this belief, this faith that is a gift to us, is not just intellectual acknowledgement. It's not acknowledging the historical fact of Jesus Christ. There's historians the world over who will tell you, yes, there was a man called Jesus. While acknowledging that there is a man called Jesus does not get them into heaven. That's a knowledge, but that's not a saving faith. A saving faith, a believing faith, only comes through God, and that is a transforming faith. It isn't just acknowledgement. You can see this in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It's a verse that we all know really well. It's a verse that we use to comfort one another. And it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined." Well, what were we predestined for? Well, Paul tells us, It says, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Those whom He called, these He also justified. In whom He justified, these He also glorified. My friends, you and I were given the ability to have faith in God, to be conformed to the image of His Son. Our faith, the faith that you and I have this morning in Jesus Christ, isn't built upon a logical acknowledgement, a historical acknowledgement. It is a transforming faith to move us to be conformed to Jesus Christ. It is a faith of power. It's a faith of power. And it's not just a one-time acknowledgement. It's ongoing. This faith that you and I have, that we possess, is not when we just acknowledge Jesus Christ. It's an ongoing, sustaining faith. A faith of power. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. And I'd like to point out that I've already said that faith is a gift. We can't take any credit for it. We can't take any credit for it. And since we can't take any credit for it, I want you to look at the very first verse in 1 John 3, because this should be our declaration when we understand that our faith is not something that we have produced. It says in 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." Now let me ask you something. Now, we live in a world where punctuation is not taught like it once was. But what's at the end of that sentence? Is it a period? No. It's an exclamation point. Now, we live in a world where everything ends in an exclamation point now, but if you remember going through English class, you only used exclamation points sparingly, right? Because it was supposed to identify something of tremendous significance. And here you see something that is tremendously significant. "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us." Not "behold what manner of love the Father we've figured out, that we've acknowledged, that we've had merit. He has bestowed it on us. He has given it to us, that we should be called the children of God." It's a gift. John goes on and he says, "Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is." In other words, the believer is transformed and he's looking forward to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And as he has been transformed in his faith, as he has a different worldview, as he looks forward to the coming of Jesus Christ, look at what happens in verse 3. "And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." It's a transforming faith. Not only do we acknowledge His existence of His salvation and the power of His cross and resurrection, but we look forward to His second coming. And because we obediently look forward to the return of Christ, we transform our life and we are moved into purity, into obedience, into holiness. He then goes on in verse 4 and he says, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him there is no sin. Whoever abides in Him does not sin. Whoever sins has neither seen Him or know Him. Now, does that mean that we're perfect people? No. It's talking about habitual sin. It's talking about being known by our sin. But that's how you would define us. And John says, whoever abides in Him does not sin. In other words, we're not known by our sin. It's not our character. It's a transforming faith. It just doesn't stop with the acknowledgement of Jesus Christ. It's a transforming faith. It's a faith of power. It's a faith that changes us, that transforms us. And I'm troubled by people that say, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, I did something there at the church and I've never gone back, but I know I'm going to heaven. And they show no signs of change in their life. And here John tells us in verse 6, whoever sins has neither seen Him nor known Him. See, my friends, we believe in a salvation of power, a salvation of transformation, where the power of God changes us, and it's totally a gift. It's nothing that we've done in our life. It's not just a change of attitude. It's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in our life. And John goes on in verse 7, he says, little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for His seed remains in Him, and He cannot sin because He has been born of God. John says basically there's two types of people. There's those that are still in the bondage of sin. Regardless of what they say, if they're in the bondage of sin, if they've not been unchained from the chains of sin, there's nothing in their life that exhibits belief. And he said, those people do not know God. But then there's another group of people out there that have been given the gift of faith, and through the faith, through the indwelling of the Spirit, their life has been transformed, and they're different people, and they live differently, and they act differently, and they believe differently. This is the gift of God. It is a transforming faith. And you got to realize, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that it wasn't you that's doing that. It's not you at all. It's God. That's why we're here to worship Christ in Christ alone. It's not our works. The Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags. It's the work and life of Jesus Christ, who God in His grace and mercy has opened up our eyes in spite of ourselves. Which leads me to 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. Paul says, for you see your calling. See it again? For you see your calling. It's not me figuring anything out. It's not you figuring it out. It is the gift of God. Your faith is the gift of God. And he says, for ye see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. I can't brag that I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't brag that I've chosen the right path. I can't brag that I'm smart. I can't brag that I did the right thing, because we were called in spite of ourselves. It's truly a gift of God. But look at what Paul says in verse 30. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, in righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Now, if you think what we just study in Romans 3, that Jesus Christ is our justifier, and the fact that you and I are found just, we're found worthy in the presence of a holy and righteous God, and it's not through our works, it's not through our intellect, it's only through the redemptive work of Jesus Christ. That as God looks at us, as God has given us the ability through faith to pick Jesus Christ, totally by Him, not by us. As He's given us that, we are found just. In other words, we're found righteous. His righteousness is imputed to us, so we are found righteous as we are just, but also our sanctification. As He moves us along, as we've been moved along, as the Bible said, as I read early in Romans 8, that we've been predestined, we've been chosen to be conformed to His image, that He moves us along through the power of our faith to look more and more like Him. It's totally through the work of Jesus Christ. His work, not our work. It was given to us. The ability to pick. In 1976, when I walked the aisle and I gave my life to Jesus Christ, it was none of me. It was none of me. It was only Jesus Christ moving. You can hear it in testimonies. And you think about it in my own testimony. I grew up in church. I went to church. Sunday after Sunday, I would listen to the preacher preach about the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, and nothing changed me. And then one day I was sitting in service and I was compelled to go. Well, who compelled me? It was Jesus Christ. Who compelled you? It was Jesus Christ. It's none of us. It's none of us. It's only the work of God. It is an absolute gift. And that's why Paul said in verse 31 of 1 Corinthians 1, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. It's none of us. It's none of us. That's why He's exalted. That's why He's praised. That's why during this season, and as we opened up our song service this morning, we sang Joy to the World, is because He is our Redeemer. He is our Redeemer. He has redeemed us. We had no power to redeem ourselves. We had no reason to choose God. The Bible says that the natural man thinks that the things of God are foolishness. It's an absolute gift. With that being an absolute gift, think about this. If we kept that in our mindset, in our acknowledgement, that we have nothing to glory about, it transforms the way we look at life. So many times now, Christians huddle up and they talk about how bad the world is. And somehow the inclination is that we made the right decision. We need to acknowledge that the world is bad. It is bad. It is evil. But my friends, the answer is Jesus Christ. As we gather together and as we observe a world that is in continued decay, let him who glories, glory in the Lord, not glory in our self-righteousness, not glory that we picked or we chose, but we glory in the work and power of Jesus Christ, and even acknowledging that in my mindset I was incapable of, it was only through God's gift was I able to recognize my need For Jesus Christ, it is an absolute gift. Think about our worship as we come together, on Sunday, and as we exalt the name of Jesus, as we worship Jesus Christ. It's not you and God partnering together. It is Jesus Christ in totality. And for that, we should lift Him up and praise Him. We should praise Him that we've been redeemed. We should praise Him that we've been cleansed, that we are a new creature in Jesus Christ. And as we leave from this place and as we work throughout the week, we should recognize as we've been redeemed that we are in His kingdom, and we should be living our life in what the Bible says, for good works which were prepared for us before the beginning of time. He's to be exalted and He's to be praised, because in Him alone do we have salvation. You may be here this morning and maybe you've never received that gift. If you've never received that gift, all you need to do at this point is to recognize that Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord, that He died on the cross and that He rose from the grave, and that you need to call out to Him and ask for forgiveness of sins and ask Him to be Savior and Lord in your life. If you've never done that, I'm going to encourage you to do that this morning. And to become a Christian and become a follower of Jesus Christ, you have to repent from your sins. You have to turn from your life and turn towards God. Or maybe somehow here this morning you think that all along that it was you who chose. Give Him the glory this morning that it was Him all along, in spite of the life that we've lived. It was Him, and He is to be praised. Join me in prayer, please. Father, we just thank You this morning that faith is a gift, that we're incapable of choosing. We're incapable of acknowledging. And we just praise You that You've given us life through Your Son. I pray if there's someone here this morning that's never accepted You, that asks You for forgiveness, that recognize You as Lord and King. I pray for us, Lord, that have been believers, that if we've become calloused to the wonderfulness of this gift, that You would renew the joy of our salvation, that we'd recognize that You have redeemed us, that You've brought us up, and that You truly have bestowed on us the adoption as children of God. In Jesus' name, amen.